You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. Dan, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of intrigue. Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, Paolo Banchero are going to go 1-2-3. That's I think everybody I've ever read seems to think it's that. So then I guess, in your eyes, does the draft start as far as potential intrigue at number four?
For the most part, overnight last night, the betting odds shifted where Banchero was actually favored to be the number one pick. And you could get plus odds on Jabari Smith being number one. So it was a little strange. At this point, it seemed like that was just something with somebody trying to make a play in the bets. But it was enough curiosity where I'm going to watch the top three picks tonight and just be sure. But if that hadn't happened, then absolutely the intrigue begins at four with the Kings. I think the consensus number four prospect to a lot of people is Purdue guard Jaden Ivey. He's a smaller guard, and the Kings already have De'Aaron Fox. They already have Davion Mitchell. So there's a little bit of question of what Sacramento will do. There are also some reports that probably because of the guards the Kings already have, and also the Kings being the Kings, that Jaden Ivey would prefer not to end up in Sacramento. You know, how hard he'll push that, who knows. So some variables for the Kings to consider, at least.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. And it's interesting, we're debating off the top, and I think that's in any draft. Sometimes there could be a benefit, you know, to dropping down if you want to go to a better team, right? And you look at guys like, you know, you get to the Pacers. I don't know how good they'll be in the future. You know, the Pelicans should be better moving forward. The Trailblazers, when you got one of the best players in the game, I still think you got a chance. So, you know, I look at guys who maybe go, you know, 7-8 to the Spurs. They've always been a competitive organization for a long time. That might be better, and you might have more success as a player than if you go to the Kings or Pistons.
For sure. I mean, and this also depends on the individual player. You don't just want to go to a good team. You want to go to a team where you're going to play. So it depends on the depth in front of you at your position on that team, too.
There's a few Canadians projected to go in the top 10, Benedict Mathurin, and then Shaedon Sharpe, which is a very unique story because they kind of found out halfway through the year. He'd left high school, so he joined college early. He was at Kentucky, wasn't playing. And then they found out he's draft eligible, and everybody's raving about his athleticism, but he hasn't played a whole bunch. With the G League and how they use it now, is Shaedon Sharpe a guy who teams will draft high but be patient with and let develop in the G League, or do you think they'd rather him ride the bench and play limited minutes in the NBA?
Well, it's depending on the team and the situation, but I'll tell you, I really like him. The video I watched of him, and obviously these are at different settings. It's not the competition level of college basketball, but I think I'm appropriately accounting for that. I'm considering that. I'm thinking about it. I was so impressed. Jaw-dropping vertical step. Just great athlete. He's a good shooter. He's got ball handling moves to get his shot off on the perimeter. I wish he had a better first step. For such a great athlete, that's not quite there relative to the other elements of his athleticism, but it's still okay. The bigger concerns are, well, you haven't played in a year. What does that mean, right? Is a team getting the player who I saw a video who left off a year ago showing all these great highlights and looking at the downsides of his game to look at the whole package? Is he picking off where he left off a year ago, or, you know, is there stagnation in his game because he sat out a year? Did he, you know, even if he did the best he could, it's a tough situation to do your best at developing your game. You know, that's tough to lose a year of development. So I have some concerns. I have a lot of concerns about how he got to this point. But, man, the talent, the athleticism, I am very intrigued.
And, Dan, when you look at all the videos in the past, you mentioned, you know, not the greatest first step. Do you find that if a guy's that good of an athlete, like, can he improve that significantly? Or there's only, you know, limitations on how much you can improve your first step?
Yeah, absolutely. I think guys can improve that. And some of this, you know, it's not just the physical, you know, ability to get going fast. So I think every single element can be improved, but it's also recognition. It's understanding the game better of when you want to attack so you can be a beat ahead that way. It's developing some counter moves where maybe instead of going your very fastest, you're going a little slower to catch the defense off guard and get them off balance and then getting into the faster speed or changing speeds along the way. So I think there's a lot of things any player can do to learn to do that better. Honestly, I'll tell you, I think everything is teachable. There's not a single element that when we're looking at draft prospects, I don't think is something somebody can learn. And that includes height.
Yeah, okay, that's totally fair, Dan Feldman.
Just with height, you know, are you standing up fully straight? Are you doing, you know, maybe some yoga or something to improve your posture? Are you outstretching your arms as very much as you can? Are you doing exercises to stretch out your muscles? I think you learn everything.
Dan Feldman joins us, NBC NBA writer. Of course, the 2022 NBA draft goes tonight. So, Dan, you know, Sharp's a unique prospect because, there's just not a lot of film. He hasn't played a whole bunch. Anyone else, you know, because, hey, it's funny. When you look at the Golden State Warriors and, you know, where they drafted some of their guys and what they turned out to be, like, when, you know, the dominant team right now, who are some guys that you see that, aren't going to go top 10, but you actually really like and are guys who down the road could turn out to be a lot better than where they were drafted?
Let's see. Somebody who's not going to go top 10. I do think this is a relatively weak draft. I'm not super excited about guys that even going, let's say, outside of top 7 or 8. But there are some. Jeremy Sochan is a forward from Baylor. He might end up going top 10. There's kind of some varied opinions on him, but he might be right outside that top 10 where, you know, he's a versatile player. He defends really hard. He showed some raw offensive skills. He's got to improve as a shooter, but you can see the traits there with his athleticism, with his versatility. Somebody that I think is more of a consensus outside of the top 10 is Terry Eason, a forward from LSU. He transferred from Cincinnati. He is out of control in good and bad ways. He plays real hard. He's athletic. He's all over the court. He's got to refine his game, but I like his upside. I'd take him not too far after 10, too.
When you look at two other Canadians in the draft, projected maybe late first into the second, Andrew Nembhard and Caleb Houston, what do you like about their game, and do you think those are guys, or could they easily drop down?
Man, you put me a little bit on the spot with what do I like about their games. I'm not the biggest fan of either, but, you know, they have some potential, especially with Houston. Let's start with Nembhard. It's easier to say what you like. He's been playing in college basketball. He plays very under control. I just don't think the upside is quite there, but he knows what he's doing. That's always a nice trait. Caleb Houston is tall and can shoot, and that, you know, there's an outline there of where it could work out. He was not very good at Michigan last year. Maybe some confidence issues. Hard to say why it wasn't better, which is always concerning. But when you're tall and can theoretically shoot like that, there is a path. He's definitely got the higher upside. He is, I think, the more intriguing NBA draft prospect, even though Nembhard was the better college player.
You mentioned this isn't the deepest draft. So do you think we're going to see even more wheeling and dealing of teams trying to trade down and possibly get picks next year instead?
It takes two to tango, right? Everybody understands the quality of this draft. And opinions can vary, right? People can have different assessments than me. But in general, those types of trades are tough because if teams agree, if teams would rather have a pick next year, well, so would the team you're trying to trade with.
Now you don't like the depth of it. What about the top end talent? Like a Smith and the top guys, are they that good, or is there, like, obviously there's not going to be a LeBron James in this draft class, right? That's pretty safe to say. But what's the high end capability of the top few picks?
So I'm glad you asked that, because when we talk about draft quality, number one, we're almost always wrong. What we say at the time, it often doesn't hold up. Not going to stop me from making these predictions. And then the other thing is it's the shape of the draft. Some drafts are stronger in some areas, some than others. It's oversimplification just to say it's strong or weak. To me, this draft is weak in a lot of key areas, and that includes at the top. I like the guys at the top. I don't love them. I have Jabari Smith from Auburn, the forward atop my draft board, a really good shooter, a good defender who can fit in to a versatile scheme. I just wish, you know, it's tough when the guy you have number one doesn't really have that much offensive creation ability. That's the premium NBA skill. That's what you're usually looking for. So I'm down on the guys at the top of the draft relative. I'm down on the guys throughout the lottery relative. I'm down on everybody like through the teens relative to a typical draft. But I do think where the strength of this draft is by the time you get, oh, I would say somewhere 20 to 45 in this draft, it's all pretty similar. And which doesn't bode well for the guys in the early 20s. But when you're in the middle of the second round, when you're picking around 40, yeah, I think this draft is unusually strong. I'm not saying every player in that range is going to pan out, but I see a lot of guys who, for the most part, fit one of two archetypes. One, they're kind of college veterans who know what they're doing, whose games might hold up in the NBA. Obviously, I wouldn't bet heavily on it, but I could see how it could work. Or they're young players who are projectable, who can keep developing and get there. Again, obviously I wouldn't bet on it or I'd rank them higher, but you could see how it could work out. And a lot of those guys are versatile wings. They're versatile forwards, the type of positions every team in the NBA needs. And so it'd be a big boom for whichever team gets the guys who work out. I just think between all those players in that range who have the possibility of working out, some of them will.
Great stuff, Dan. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to the draft as always tonight. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.